on our future agenda.
She's busy taking that picture.
We welcome Ginny, who traveled far and wide.
Oh, stop it. It's from Middletown. It's not that far. Okay.
Ginny.
Okay, thank you. My name is Ginny. I'm an abstinent compulsive overeater.
Hi, Ginny.
Hi, Ginny.
Hello. And, geez, I've been in program. My first day was in May of 1985. But I'm going to back up a little and tell you a little bit about my history and what I was like. Because I was from an Italian, well, I'm still from an Italian-Irish family. Everything revolved around food. And that's how I learned to deal with my emotions, was with food. So my dad had fabulous work ethic, but he also drank after work. And like a good little girl, I married someone just like Dad, who had a wonderful work ethic, and he drank after work. That brought up fabulous resentment and anger and, oh, poor me. So we were together for 6 years, and then we got married, and the drinking got worse. So, of course, my eating got worse, too, because I was feeling more and more resentment and eating. One of my favorite sayings was, if he would just get sober, I would be able to lose weight. So what happened? He got sober. And I was still a miserable bitch. And, you know, burying every feeling in the food. And my loving husband, who we also just celebrated 30 years in September, thank you, God, and program, because we never would have done it without AA and OA. So he actually approached me and he said, you know, hon, there is a program just like mine for people like you who have problems with food. And as I said, I just celebrated 30 years, so you know I didn't kill him. But I was pissed, and I just left it at that. And the next time I went to my Al-Anon meeting, I bitched and moaned about it. And after the meeting, three lovely women approached me and said, oh, I belong to OA too. It's fabulous. He's right. You really should think about going. And so I did. They gave me a sheet that had meetings on it. Found that there was one at the Woodbridge Medical, the health center right next to the library, because I was living in Perth Amboy at the time. That was basically where I was born and raised. So I saw that the meeting was there, and I decided, okay, Thursday night, I'm going. I get in the car, I go drive in there, I'm determined I'm going to go to this meeting. I couldn't even pull into the parking lot. I drove past, I saw the building, and I kept going. I was scared. The fear had totally overwhelmed me, and I couldn't go in. So the next week I tried it again, and I actually pulled into the parking lot and kept going. Didn't go in again. So I guess three times was a charm, because I was desperate enough at that point. And I did stop. I sat in the parking lot. I watched people go in and said, this is ridiculous. You have to go. You know, you're totally out of control. So I did go in. Two lovely ladies greeted me at the door, and then a little bit away was a very thin, beautiful lady who was the leader. And all I could think was all those weigh and pay meetings that I had gone to when I was younger and failed at. And I thought, oh shit, you know, here we go again. So I sat down and I just sucked it up, and then the meeting started and everything changed. I knew I was home. The readings told me I was home. The speaker showed pictures and talked about how she was morbidly obese beforehand, and I realized this was where I needed to be. I found a sponsor that night, and she gave me one quick direction. Go get names out of the We Care book. Now, I didn't know what that meant. I thought she wanted them. So I took a whole bunch of names and I brought the paper to her. Yeah, you know. And I brought it to her and I said, here, I had like 10 or 11 names. And she said, good. She said, now call me tomorrow at this time, and every day call two of those people. Now, in 1985, there were no cell phones. My phone was attached to the wall. It had a cord. It weighed like a ton. So it wasn't easy to make phone calls. I'm just saying. But everybody at that meeting was saying how that tool worked for them. So I said, okay, I'm going to pick up the phone and I'm going to make those phone calls every day. And I did. Thank you, God. For the next 6 years, I found abstinence in program, working the steps with my sponsor, and then I got pregnant, which was very exciting. 5 months later, I had a miscarriage. It was devastating. I grieved horribly, but I grieved. I felt the feelings. I got through it. I didn't eat over it. I was abstinent the entire time. And 3 months after that, I got pregnant again. I had my first son in June of 91, and he was 9 pounds, 8 ounces, definitely a big baby. And I did it abstinently. I had a second child 6 years later, and I'll just talk about that fast because I want to talk about my relapse. We had moved south at this point, and I was still fearful. There was still fear. I should say probably fear came back because I don't believe I always had it. But I also believe that when you work the program, you get what you need. And if you don't do the things that work, of course, you're not going to get what you need. So I moved south and wasn't going to as many meetings because I was traveling north to attend. Wasn't speaking to my sponsor as much. And when my youngest baby was just about 2, who also was 9 pounds, 6 ounces he was when he was born, I stopped completely going to meetings and I relapsed. And in hindsight, I now know that I had relapsed emotionally and physically way before I picked up the food. And that's really important for me to remember because I don't have to, you know, picking up the food is usually the last step for me. Something else has gone wrong because this is a three-legged stool for me, without question. So anyway, I relapsed for 8 years, and this disease isolated me, and I had complete amnesia about OA. And then one day, and it was about a time where I had given up on diets because I was over 250 pounds, my clothes were so tight they were ready to rip, and I just said, you know something, some people are just meant to be fat, and I must be one of them. And then within that week, my wonderful, beautiful For Today book, which had been on a shelf for years, suddenly showed up on the counter in my kitchen. And I was like, whoa. I remember this, and it was like, wow, OA. And it was June 7th, 2006, and I looked at the book, I looked up that date, I did a bunch of readings, and I was like, oh my God, there's hope. And I went on the computer, and I looked up OA, and I immediately found some email loops, one of which is a 100-pounder. I found meetings in the area, and I started attending immediately. I was abstinent from that moment. I found a sponsor on the email loop, and we started writing our doing the steps and doing writings. And then she lost her abstinence after a couple months. And during that time, I had been reading posts from this one person who was not on the sponsor list, but that I wanted to be just like her when I grew up. And I sent her an email and asked her if she would sponsor me. And she said she was very busy right now, but if we could do it through emails, we could. So I did. And that was when I was really introduced to the big book. And the first thing she told me to do was read the doctor's opinion. And oh my goodness, how things suddenly became clear to me, why all those diets never worked. So I, you know, what she always said was read the chapter, highlight what jumps out at you, write about it, and then we'll talk. And so we did, and she said, okay, now you understand about the phenomenon of craving. Are there foods in your food plan right now that make you want more? And I was chuckling because, of course, at that point, I was back after a relapse, and probably everything made me want more. So she said, let's make a list. So I actually made a list of all those foods, and thank God for this program and the big book, because I don't feel deprived by not having those foods, because when I go to a party and all that stuff is around me and I can talk to people and my heart is there and I'm really happy to see people instead of the food tray, the food table, that's a miracle for me. So it's like, thank you, God, for not directing me to the food today. And that's how it started with us. So over time we've we did the 12 steps through the big book, and then we increased our phone calls so that it was every day, definitely very shortly it became every day. She's now on an RV trip from Florida to California, so we did cut down to once a week, but we also meet on a phone meeting with all of her sponsees, and we're doing a step phone meeting with her. We're doing it's a study. We're beyond the steps and traditions already. We're on the tools now. But what I wanted to talk about with you was the traditions, because when I came into program, the 12 was published. That was the little purple book that just had the steps in it. And then later, the 12 and 12 was published. And I swear, I always thought the traditions were about was for the business end of program. So that had nothing to do with me, right? We are the business end of program because we are all program, period. So I started working the traditions, and she said something simple. She said, read the tradition, highlight what looks good, what you want to talk about, what jumps out at you, whatever. And she says, then answer the question, how would you use that tradition with your family, at a meeting, at work, with a group of people, any place that more than two people would get together? And honestly, it changed my life, because I knew it all. I was so, that's why it was easy to answer that question about step six before. I knew it all, and I wanted to let everybody know that. And the traditions, even more than the steps, helped me to be a nicer person and to accept that you may have an opinion too. And just because it doesn't agree with mine doesn't mean it's wrong. And it was just a wonderful experience, and without question, that has changed my life. And for that, I am eternally grateful to my sponsor, because it was an awesome step, awesome tradition study. So now, because I want you to have time to talk, I'm going to just talk about step 10, 11, and 12 real fast, because I do a 10th step in writing every day, and I mail it to my sponsor. We also have an app that we do food plans with. My food plan has changed numerous times over the years. I'm getting older, and I've had medical issues, and we needed to change it again not long ago, and it works. So I'm very grateful that, you know, it's just not one food plan and that's the end of it, because that doesn't work for everybody. So I do step 11 and 12 every day. I try to live in 10, 11, and 12. What this program taught me was that praying is important, but shutting up is more important, because when I pray, I tend to be just asking. And for me, it's about the meditation, and the meditation gives God a chance to talk to me. And I learn His will through that quiet time. When I signed in, I put "be still" as my message, because it's very important to me. And that's why I was laughing. We just got "be still and know that I am," and we talked about "be still" again. So obviously that was the message for me today. Being still is important. And when I'm still, I hear the message my higher power wants me to hear. And then we go to step 12, which is most important to me, because for me, without doing service, I would definitely fall flat on my face. So I do all the little service that's involved in a meeting. When I came back, our meeting needed a intergroup rep, so I volunteered to be the intergroup rep. And that was awesome, because then I got involved in intergroup, and I'm on the 12-step within committee there. And we set up retreats and all that stuff. It's just awesome, because I'm working with other people who also don't attend my meetings. So it's nice to be able to see them and hear their experience, strength, and hope, which just grounds me. 2 years ago, I was elected as a region rep for our intergroup, so I get to learn even more from more people from our region, which is awesome for me because it's, what is it, nine states? Whatever. It's mm-hmm. about nine states. So all those people come together and we meet and we have meetings, and I'm on the 12-step within committee there. I also helped with the convention committee, which is coming up the first week of November. So I'll do a little pitch. I should have brought some forms for that, but that's okay. So the bottom line is that for me, the steps keep me going, and step 12, without question, I need to do the service. For me, it's vital, because I have to give back what I have so freely received, and it's awesome. That's why I'm here today. I have to work at 3, but it doesn't matter, because I timed it out, and I know I could be here. I could get home in time to have lunch and make my dinner to bring to work. It's important to spread the message, and that's how it works for me. So thank you for letting me share.
Our World Service Rep, one of our two World Service Reps.